40 Issues Week 2. And last week when we started talking about this, we started going through the book of Jonah a little bit, and we looked at the impact of authority in our lives and God's authority in our life. And I'd be willing to bet that this week, since that's been a little bit of a probably something that's come up in your mind a little bit since last week, that maybe you've looked at that, at least I would hope that you have, that maybe you've looked at some of those things a little bit differently this week, that maybe there was where you had to deal with authority, and I'm hoping that maybe you dealt with that a little bit differently this coming week. And, when we talk about authority, it can bring up a lot of different emotions. It can, bring up a lot of different things because we can get kind of passionate about it. And when we get passionate about authority, sometimes we don't make the best decisions, and sometimes it can actually drive us to a better decision in some ways. And so I want to kind of start tonight by looking at the definition of authority and looking at what it means. And when you look at the definition of authority, it's this: the power or right to give orders, to make decisions, and enforce obedience. There it is. The power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. And it sounds great, this definition, when it's like us that has the power and the right to give orders. You know what I mean? Like this sounds like a good definition. But when it belongs to somebody else, we really get a little antsy and we get hesitant. And Jonah really had a problem with that as well. And we're going to see as we continue with his story, kind of how we can look at the logical side of authority, because he wasn't being very logical right at the beginning. And so just to recap Jonah, if you weren't here last week, or maybe you've never read the story of Jonah and what happened with him, the Cliff Notes version is this: Jonah's an Old Testament prophet. He's a guy from the Old Testament who God used prophets to speak to people, to speak to people back then. And that was one of the ways that he did that. And he told Jonah, go to Nineveh, which is a terrible city, a wicked city, and preach to them and tell them about God. And he's like, no, I'm going to go the other way. Peace. And he went running from God, jumped on a boat, literally is going the complete opposite direction, jumps on a boat with a bunch of guys who are, as the Bible actually calls them, sinners that are not believers in God. It even says that they believe in other gods. And then God sends a storm to just wreck the sea, and this boat is about to sink, and it's falling all over the place and about to go in, and the guys don't know what to do, and Jonah's like, hey, look, so this is my fault, so why don't you chuck me over the side, and everything will be fine. And they didn't actually want to do that at first, but they did, and when they did, the entire sea went calm. Went completely calm the second they threw him over, which probably freaked him out. And it's really weird because it's so God to take a situation like that, where somebody's running from God, where his intent was to go to Nineveh and to reach people for God, and instead he goes the other way, and God takes that situation of somebody rebelling, and still people end up coming to God anyway, because this boat full of sinners ended up coming to the Lord and being converted, if you want to call it that. And so they toss Jonah off, and it says a huge fish comes and swallows him up. And so now we're like thinking like Pinocchio here, right? So this huge fish swallows him up, and there's debates as to whether this was a whale or whether it was an actual like special creature that God created just for him. To be honest, I don't think it matters necessarily exactly what kind of a animal this was. But it swallows Jonah up for 3 days. For 3 days, Jonah's inside the belly of this fish or whale. And this is actually where it gets interesting, believe it or not. It starts to get really interesting from here. So we're going to pick this up in chapter 2, all right? So Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Let's start there. Verse 1 says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Okay, hang on. So have you ever talked to somebody who's like, man, the Bible's boring. It's like so boring. I don't want to, this is like, point them to this verse, because this is not really boring. This is weird. This is weird for a chapter to start like this. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. That's weird. this is not boring because he actually survives inside this huge fish. And so Jonah's inside this fish, and you may notice that it starts with him saying, "The Lord, his God." We're seeing his attitude has shifted. Jonah's attitude has shifted. Obviously, he's inside of a whale. My attitude would shift a little bit too. Not only did I get chucked from the side of a boat, but now I'm inside an animal. I've never woke up inside an animal. I don't know if any of you have. That would be weird. I would probably start with prayer also. And he did. And so his attitude has changed significantly. So let's look at this prayer, because that's really a lot of what chapter 2 is him praying. And we're seeing a shift in his attitude here. So Jonah's prayer, before we read it though, I want you to see that there are times when we go against God's commands. And I'm sure all of you can think of a time in your life where you've gone against God's commands. And I want you to think about for a minute, when you've gone against the authority of God and you know, I should have done this, but instead I did that, and now you've maybe gotten caught or whatever you want to call that. And I want you to think about the feeling that you have after that rebellion has kind of come full circle. Think about that feeling that you've got. Did you feel close to God or far away from God? You don't need to answer me, but I just want you to think about that. Did you feel like your relationship with God was like in a good place? Or that you had maybe some work to do? And so this is where Jonah's at when he begins to pray. And his prayer is recorded here, starting in verse 2. It says, "He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple.'" Now, that's a lot of flowery language. I get that. But like, dude's life is like literally flashing before his eyes. Again, mine would be too. Never been inside an animal. Hope to never be. And he's got a lot of regrets. He's got a lot of different feelings happening because he's running from God. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? You know the feeling. You know the feeling. When you've got these regrets, you know you should have done X, but instead you did Y. And now you've got these feelings because you've been caught. And now you're like reeling a little bit and you're trying to figure this out. And this process is usually when we're running from God and we get caught and we're in the spot. This is usually where we look dumb and where God looks like God. And Jonah concludes his prayer here with this comparison between who he was and who he wanted to be. And so let's look at verse 8 here for a second as we go. Verses 8 through 9 says, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." Those who cling to worthless idols is what it says. This is Jonah talking about himself in chapter 1. Because in chapter 1, which was last week, he was all about himself. Dude was all about himself. And he was replacing God's authority with his own authority, which we've all done. We've all tried to do our own thing because we're not looking at God in the right way, realizing that his authority is for our protection, not to be a buzzkill, all right? But this is what we do. And when we make decisions based on how we feel rather than what God tells us to do, we get ourselves in trouble. And Jonah realizes this part of his decision and seeing that when we do that, it's worthless. And here's why. Look at this statement. When we assume the authority of our own lives, we are the ones who are held responsible for our actions. Think about that. I'm not trying to get you off the hook. It's actually quite the other way around. Because when we assume the authority in our lives, when we're not submitting to God's authority, the buck stops with us. We're the ones that got to pay the bill. we're the ones who are to blame when stuff goes awry because we're not listening to God's authority. We're not listening to God, so his protection is off of us. So now we're providing our own protection. I don't know how good I am at that. I'm not nearly as good as God is at protecting me. My version of that is worthless compared to God's. And so we either have to suffer the consequences or we choose door number two, like Jonah, which we may still have to suffer the consequences depending on the circumstance. But if we look at what Jonah did in verse 9, we can then repent, which basically just means to turn from, to turn away from. That's what repent means. So Jonah repents. And if you look at verse 9, it gives us a really clear process of Jonah's repentance. And these three things that he does in this verse are required of us as well. Number one, Jonah acknowledged God. Okay, he acknowledged God. He sacrificed to God and he obeyed God. And so here's the breakdown of the verse. It says, but I with shouts of grateful praise. So there's his reaction to give God the praise, admit who has the authority, that it's God who has the authority. And then a sacrifice to God. I will sacrifice to you. Now, once we recognize who God is, we all do this. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice to him would have been like an animal sacrifice, like that kind of a thing. I don't think he was doing that inside of a whale, okay? Kind of tough to do. I don't think he did that, right? But what kind of sacrifice could he do in there? His sacrifice was probably like what our sacrifices are now. We sacrifice our wants and replace them with what God wants, or at least we attempt to, with God's heart in those areas. And I'll show you what I mean here in just a second. And then he obeyed God. What I have vowed, I will make good. That's the part of the verse there. It says, what I have vowed, I will make good. And this is really where it all comes down to it, because he commits to God to actually taking action and doing something and turning from it and actually putting his feet to the pavement and doing something, doing what God told him to do. And this is the logical process that we all go through when we're in disobedience to God. We all do this. We step out of line, we get caught, and then our conversation with God goes something like this: Dear God, and there's your acknowledgement because you're saying God, right? You're acknowledging him as God. And look, I messed up, God. I messed up. And so I'm sorry. And so then you're sacrificing because you're admitting that what you did was wrong and wasn't the right thing to do, right? And God, if you fix this, I will be a missionary to Africa for the rest of my life. Just help me out of this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've all done these like crazy prayers. We're like, you know, Lord, I will pray for 8 hours a day. You know, like we make these stupid promises to God. And you've all done it. That's why you're laughing, right? Because we've all kind of been there. But we acknowledge, we sacrifice, we obey. We all go through this process when it comes to getting caught. And Jonah did the same thing. And when we see those necessary steps, we don't always handle these things in the right way. Let me just say that. That's kind of the process that we all go through, but we don't always handle these in the right way. Because what we're really doing is we're trying to negotiate with God. We're trying to negotiate with him, and that's kind of dumb if you think about it. But look at verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. This is a hilarious verse to me. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I want to see this movie. Right?
Isn't there a movie about it?
I want to see a realistic movie about this. Just this specific part. I don't know why, but it would be weird. Yeah, it's kind of that, but you know what? If we're honest with ourselves, we have to deal with the consequences from our decisions, right? Because yeah, he did get out of the whale, but can you imagine like the smell from this dude? I mean, 3 days. 3 days in an animal. I don't care what kind of animal. You stink. You're gross. You just got puked up. Not fun. Okay? But you get in the middle of a crisis. You're like Jonah. You're in the fish. You're trying to figure out what to do. We've all been there. We all screw up. We get caught. We're in this circumstance that we don't know how we're going to get out of. As we've already established, none of us have been inside of an animal. But you're in a situation, you're in a circumstance that you don't feel like you can get out of. He probably did not feel like he was going to get out of there. I can't imagine that he did. And his only choice was to pray. How many times have we all been there? And our only choice is to pray. And we turn to God. And we admit his authority. And we acknowledge who he is. And we sacrifice our own authority and our own wants and wishes and, quote, needs. And then we obey. But do we really obey? See, the thing is with Jonah here, it really just took one time, and he got it. It just took this one time, and he got it. And we're going to see next week, because he heads to Nineveh. He does what God wanted him to do, finally, because he listened after this one time. And this was a pretty significant moment in his life, I would think. You know, this one time. But it takes more than one time for us, doesn't it? Doesn't it? How many times can you think about even a particular time? I know I can think of some in my life as well, where I've been like, oh man, how am I gonna get out of this? God, this will be the time that I listen. This is it until next month. I meant this one. I know I just did the exact same thing again. And I know I'm pretty much running headfirst into a brick wall over and over and over. But God, if you just get me out of it this time. It only took once for Jonah, but it takes multiple times for us. And you know why? It's because we're not respecting God's authority in our life. It's because we're not looking at this issue in the right way. Because like we talked about last week, God's authority in our life is there to protect us. But look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. I want to go back to this verse because I want you to look at God's response to you. Because here's what we do. We start negotiating with God when we get to this place, and we start coming up with this list of stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right? As to why maybe you don't, because you promised God the same. God, I'm going to go be a missionary in Africa. I will. If you just get me out of this. And then he gets you out of it, and then you start making this list. And you're, well, I can't because of this, and then I can't because of that. Well, but there's this. And we start justifying sin, and we start justifying why we can't maybe do what we know God wants us to do. I don't know if God really wanted you to go be a missionary in Africa or whatever. More than likely, if you're making blatant, like crazy statements like that, that's more than likely not what God wants you to do. Because he doesn't call people into missions like that. But anyway, the thing is, we start making this list of stuff and we start negotiating terms with God. Listen to this verse, Jonah 2:8 says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. That is God's response to your list. You're clinging to worthless idols. That's us. We're clinging to the worthless stuff. We're clinging to the worthless idols, and we turn away from God's love. And then we wonder, what's going on? We wonder maybe why it didn't work this time. So here's a connection point for the night. Is that God's authority exists because he loves you. Yes, God's authority exists to protect you, but God's authority also exists because he loves you. He loves you. And I know that's a very like simple statement that you've heard pastors and preachers and random signs at football games say all the time and all kinds of junk like that. That's made it such a cliche statement.
Yeah, God loves me.
That's not a cliche statement. That is not a statement to be taken lightly, not by any stretch. I hope you understand the significance of that. The creator of the universe, the creator of everything, loves you. Even when you disobey him, even when you do the complete opposite thing, and he loves you enough to create a fish to come and eat you, to keep you aside, to protect you, for a couple of days, if that's what it takes to get a hold of you, and we still thumb our nose at him, don't we? And we still make our list and go, God, well, maybe this and maybe that. We don't really realize that His authority in our life is because he loves us. And when you get that, suddenly his rules, his guidelines, his commands, his laws, the way that he pleads with us, suddenly those things actually make sense. Those things don't become things that we have to bend or break our will for. Those become all of a sudden things that actually make perfect sense in our life, because we understand that God's authority is to protect us and because he loves us. Just like I was talking about with my kids last week, how they scream at me or whatever when I ask them to not do something that they want to do, but the reason I'm asking them is because I love them and because I want to protect them, not because I want to be a buzzkill. And God does the same thing with us. And we sit and we scream at him and we yell at him because we don't entirely realize that God loves you. That's a big deal. We're going to see how this plays out over the next two chapters in Jonah, next week and the following week. But I wonder for you tonight, right now, right here, how is this idea going to play out in your life? I've got a lot of your attention right now. And I can see that, and I'm thankful for that. So my question for you is, honestly, what are you going to do with this? How is this going to play out in your life? It played out in an amazing way in Jonah's life. What about you? If we could all bow our head, close our eyes for just a minute. And I want you to realize and just really soak in that idea for a second. Like I said, I know it's super simple. I get that. But I want you to really soak in for a second the idea that God loves you so much that he put his authority in place for you, because we're going to screw it up. We do screw it up. That's why we have to turn around and acknowledge his authority, sacrifice our own wants, because they're usually wrong anyway, and then obey what God was trying to tell us to do in the first place. And then we sit and negotiate with him because we don't totally get it. Do you get it that God loves you? Wrap your head around that. God loved you so much that he sent his son for you, to die for you, because you're not able to save yourself, and you never will be able to. You'll never be able to be good enough to save yourself. That's why we need Jesus' sacrifice for us. It says that Jonah sacrificed to God. God made a sacrifice for you because he loves you that much, so that you could know for sure that you're going to have eternity in heaven with him. I know for a fact that there are some of you in here that could not say that you're 100% sure that if you were to die right now, that you would have an eternity in heaven with God, that you would wake up with Jesus. And if that's you, I would love to talk to you tonight. One of our leaders would love to talk to you tonight and show you what the Word of God has to say about how you can know for sure. It says in 1 John 5, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life, not so that you may be pretty sure. So if you want to know, I would love to talk to you tonight. If that's you, would you be willing to just maybe look at me right in the eye if you want to have that conversation tonight? If you want to know for sure, just lock eyes with me and we can talk. We can talk later. I don't want to embarrass anybody. We can talk in just a few minutes. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the great night that we've had. God, I thank you for your son who died for us because you love us so much. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you've put your authority in place for us to protect us from ourselves, because we don't get this right very often. Lord, we need you. And I pray that we would all realize that, we would recognize that, Lord, that we would have a different view of your authority in our life because of the prophet Jonah, because of what we've learned tonight. And Lord, I pray for these students, God. I know that there's some struggling with some things in here. They may be struggling with bad decisions that they've made or decisions that they're going to make, that they're contemplating making. Lord, I pray that they would lean on you, that they would look to you to make those decisions, and that you would give them wisdom and guidance to make proper decisions, Lord. I pray, God, that if there is one here, even one that doesn't know you as Savior, that's not 100% sure that they're going to spend eternity with you, Lord, I pray they would not walk out of these doors without getting that straight or at least asking some questions. Father, I pray that your Spirit would just press on our hearts tonight. Thank you for the great night that we've had, for the fun that we've had, but more importantly, for the time we've been able to spend with you and in your word. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.